This is Cosmic, and you are listening to the Pete Santilli Show. Pete Santilli, telling you the truth, whether you like it or not.
A potential domestic terrorist, of course, by their standards. By listening to No Messiah. But you know what? I do that in the face of tyranny.
All right, we're back. I'm joined by Vinny Eastwood, and I called him the founding member of the Guerrilla Media. Actually, it's something that I really was impressed with, and I loved the term when I saw his site for the first time. But I've listened to his show. Just a very different, smoother approach to tackling essentially the same exact issues that we're trying to do in alternative media. But what made you call it the Guerrilla Media, New Zealand's alternative media?
Why did I call it Guerrilla Media? Well, what does guerrilla mean? It means you've got an inferior fighting force that uses guerrilla tactics. In other words, you use your weaknesses as strengths. I'm small. I don't have any cash flow. I don't have $1 million studios. But what I do have is an open mind, enough gas money to get to any protest that I want to, and I've got access to YouTube and a camera. So I go out, start covering the news, and before I know it, because I'm actually covering real issues, I've got more subscribers than the mainstream media YouTube channels here in New Zealand. All of them combined by myself.
Wow, that's outstanding. How long ago did you get started, and what inspired you to jump in the mix?
It's been about this for 5 years, I think.
Really? Five years? Wow, okay.
First 3 years I spent in the street. Camera. Ambushing politicians. I've ambushed the current and former Prime Minister of New Zealand, our Associate Health Minister, our Minister for Māori Affairs, our Health Minister, our Assistant Health Minister, and on issues ranging from chemtrails to fluoride to political corruption to financing to privatization, public-private partnerships, zoning laws, and just pretty much anything you could really think of. I've always been a guy who kind of normally thinks about 11 different things at once. So when I first got into this, I guess, kind of looking back, when you become active and you're willing to sacrifice all day, every day for other people, it's usually because something really bad's happened to you. The thing that was really bad that happened to me was getting arrested for selling a bit of pot back when I was in university, and they caught me with 13 grams, and I was going to go to jail for up to 8 years for that. They treated it more seriously than manslaughter, and that was when I had my first panic attack. That was when I realized that the police lie through their teeth to you. They say, oh, if you be honest, we'll go easy with you. So in order to just to get you admit to things so that they don't have to prove anything, so they can just prosecute you easier. And in fact, it's even worse than that. They just come up and make up even more evidence. They said because I admitted to selling cannabis that they estimated that I must have been selling it before and that I'd made somehow $48,000 in 2 months. They caught me with 13 grams.
He made tens of thousands of dollars. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally, bro. Yeah. Totally, bro.
How much cash did you have on you at the time they arrested you?
I had, like, 70 bucks.
Did you?
That my mum gave me to pay my rent because I was broke.
You're the next Kim.com, right?
Oh, no, I was, you know how they did the movie called Blow? And this dude was like, he was like the number one cocaine / marijuana dealer in the United States at the time or whatever, yeah? That's who they thought they were coming after. They found something that is less than half of what is normally prosecuted for personal use. and tried to throw an equal amount of the book at me. The person who got sentenced in front of me was going up for sexual assault, resisting arrest, growing 3 cannabis plants. He got 150 hours community service. Guy before him came up, charged with stealing a jar of Craig's raspberry jam from the local Beyond Petroleum gas station. And after a lengthy prosecution, he was ordered to repay the $4.67 to replace the jar of Craig's jam. And I get up, 13 grams of cannabis, and I get 300 hours community service for a first offense. And I'm very lucky that I didn't go to prison. The system didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I was actually an establishment boy. I loved the idea of going into government and making a living for yourself off the sweat of your brow and what have you. And suddenly, I realized that everything was just the way I was told. And you have to work off that kind of stuff. As it did, 300 hours, and had to work a couple of weeks doing labor and getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, going to work for 12 hours, coming home at 7 o'clock, going to bed at 8, and then getting up at 5 o'clock again. That was really hard, especially with the travel costs. I wound up having up to 56 hours work. I'd end up with about maybe $200 in the hand. Just get into working, and I became a salesman. I started being really good at that. Number one on the boards for 6 months. And then I was like, I know, I'm really good at it, but I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do sales anymore. So they promoted me, and they gave me a business account manager position, of which I never managed to actually ever manage one single business account, because it wasn't the position. It was simply sales called business account manager. So I got really bored with the position, because I've already done this. As soon as I get really good at something, I get really bored, and I'm just trying to figure out other stuff that I can do. So I wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company, and we call a meeting, and the big boss of the company's there, and he skips out of the room after like 12 minutes, saying he's got other stuff to do. Nothing gets done, and then they offer me $3,000 to get the hell out of the company within 5 minutes and pack up my desk and everything like that. And I said, $3,000, that sounds very nice. I'll take that and have a summer holiday for once, because I've been just jerked around my whole life, and I've never been able to pay for my own summer holiday before. Then I got another job with another firm who equally dicked me around, and another job with another firm who equally messed me around, except they paid me $4,000 in cash and gave me $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers for a local mall chain. Suddenly, I had the ability to purchase a Mac computer and a camera and the fridge that I really badly, desperately needed, and then spend all the rest of the money just buying food out of a mall supermarket. And I had the ability to finance myself, because I've been listening to Alex Jones for years and watching documentaries and this kind of stuff. And so it became me really depressed, because instead of doing anything about it, I was just going to work. So as soon as I got given the money, I was like, I don't have to work anymore. Quit. And went out, started doing it, going to every protest I could find. Oh, there's a person with a megaphone. Oh, there's a person with a microphone. Run right up to them. Hello, blah, 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 blah. How are you doing? I'm Vinny Eastwood. I came up with his name, Media Revolution News, which later on I shortened to Mr. News. It's like, hello, have you ever missed a news before? Surely you must have missed a news at least once. That was kind of funny. And I recognized that I needed a website to publish all my wares, and that was Guerrilla Media. I was involved with a programmer friend of mine from my cannabis activism days at the Daiquiri. If you go search Daiquiri, it's like a cannabis club, the very first in New Zealand, you know, like a coffee shop like you'd see in Amsterdam. It was done here totally illegally, but they just do it anyway because the law's fucking wrong. And all the videos on there, tens of thousands of all my videos. So I started getting into other issues. Because I realized that cannabis wasn't the only issue that was going on out there that was really, really bad. It was actually everything. That was what I realized, doing all those different jobs and having all those different employers and doing all those different roles. The same thing keeps coming back to me. This is wrong. And it occurred to me that it wasn't me that had a problem. It was the whole world's fault. Mm-hmm. It really was. The whole world was messed up. I was the only sane one. And I had to go out and project some frickin' sanity into all this craziness to prevent myself from getting frickin' depressed. I hated living. I hated slaves and sheep and people going around eating their bleached white bread, sucking back their aspartame sodas and giving their babies melamine milk till they're blue in the face. I hated everything.
Vinny, let me ask you
something. I recognize that the only reason why I was really hating everything is because I wasn't doing anything about it. And as soon as I started going out, started making videos, started uploading them and starting to get feedback and starting to get views, all that started to melt away. And I realized something about myself. I wasn't a hateful, vengeful person because of all the stuff that was happening to me. I was a really, really happy, laughing, caring, loving person who had simply been turned into a vengeful, spite-filled Congo playing retard who was just obsessed with himself.
Hey, Vinny, let me ask you something, Vinny. It sounds like you went through the same awakening that, you know, us like-minded individuals that are, you know, frequenting shows like the Pete Santilli Show and the Vinny Eastwood Show. You went through the same level of awakening that we all have. Now, you go out there with this awakening, and you start talking to people, and people in New Zealand they're looking at you in the same way that they're looking at us when we talk about 9/11 being an inside job or talking about fluoride in water. They looked at you weird in New Zealand, just as they do here in the United States. Is that an accurate depiction?
Let me put it this way: when New Zealand singers sing, they sing with an American accent. So is true with all of our tyranny. It sings from the same song sheet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a different
step.
Yep. Tell us, actually, what you can tell us about New Zealand politics. I'm sure you're, you know, you said that you used the term the prime sinister, of course. But tell us about your politics in New Zealand compared to the politics and political system here in the United States.
Okay.
Pretty simple.
Well, let me rattle off a few facts about New Zealand politics. Maybe you'll think this is familiar. Some countries call it a prime ministerial dictatorship. They call them this because as soon as the prime minister is elected, he gets to appoint a hand-picked, unelected cabinet to carry every single portfolio so that they can control the economy, control defense, control tourism, control energy, control education, control justice. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Our Prime Minister John Key worked for the Federal Reserve Bank on Wall Street for 2 years as the Merrill Lynch representative for the European bond and derivatives trade. Sound familiar?
I'm kidding, derivatives.
He is also the frontman for the New Zealand Zionist Society. He is also the frontman for the New Zealand Freemason Society. His partner, coalition partner, is a Mr. John Banks. When he was first elected the mayor of Auckland, the largest city in New Zealand, his first order of business as the new mayor was to have his mayoral parking space widened so that it could fit his Bentley. He is also a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. So the top two men who control politics in the country, in the central government, are 32nd degree and 33rd degree Freemasons who have links to the banking sector and all this other kind of stuff. Our third most powerful man in the world, in the country, is the current mayor of Auckland, Len Brown, who's a 32nd degree Scottish Rite Freemason. And the leader of the opposition party, the Labour Party, which is kind of the equivalent of the Democrats, the National Party, who John Key's from, is the equivalent of the Republicans, right?
Mm.
Comes from the United Nations. And they are all members of an international organization that is run by the United Nations, where they take you out to these really fancy hotels and stuff like that. I think it's called Parliamentarians International or something like that, for which there are only two prerequisites. One, you have to be elected in an allegedly free election in the country and be represented in their parliament. And two, you have to pay by credit card. Only two requisites in order to go this. And they have policy meetings, like, for example, sustainable development in the 21st century. Sound familiar?
Sustainable development, Agenda 21.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm talking about here, bro? The suit may change, the face may be younger or older or different pale or shady pale. And it's just, you kind of get tired of it. You understand how people can just kind of lose it and go, you know, I'm tired of it. I don't want to hear about this no more. I got a 357 Magnum and I will shoot you in the face if you ever roll down my neighborhood in your bulletproof window glass limousine, Mr. Obama. That's Obama's phone. He gave us a phone.
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland knows my daughter got Obama phone.
What about New Zealand? That was a great impression, by the way.
Everybody in New Zealand got
evicted.
That's hilarious. So, listen, this John Key guy, is he giving away John Key phones?
No, actually, he's giving away our state assets to foreign corporations.
You're cutting people off. And you're calling him a globalist. I mean, he's a Bank of America crony. He's a Federal Reserve Bank crony. He attends the Bohemian Grove. He's a Freemason, right? Vinny, listen.
Very quickly, 10 seconds. At a time when Bohemian Grove was meeting in the north of California around the San Francisco area, John Key was doing a business trip there. And at a time when they were negotiating their massive derivatives extra bailout like QE2, John Key was advising Timmy Geithner and Ben Bernanke because they trusted him.
A globalist is a globalist is a globalist no matter where they are in the globe. Okay? No matter where they are on the globe. New Zealand, the United States, the UK. They have essentially infected so many different countries. And you see the way things are shaping up. I mean, New Zealand is really not much different than we are. Don't go away. We'll be back right after this message.